Morning, church. Morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. I was crying all through that worship set this morning. That was a good worship set. Wasn't worship good this morning? I had to get myself together before I got up here. We pray that everyone had a great 4th of July. My neighbors were still doing fireworks last night at 2 in the morning. Praise God. So we're going to continue in our Mountain Moment series. Last week, Sarah taught on Mount Tabor, the view of glory. This week, we are going to talk about Mount Eremo. Say that with me, Mount Eremos. When Pastor Craig gave me that, I have been practicing saying that for like 2 weeks straight because I was like, I'm not going to stand on there and mess it up. Eremos. So you're going to see some pictures on the screen. Now, Mount Eremos isn't the biggest of mountains. It's more of a hill, but it's on a quiet slope near the Sea of Galilee. The word Eremos in the Greek means solitary or desolate place. This was a quiet place to withdraw. It is on Mount Eremos where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches his disciples the Beatitudes. But this mountain was also a place where Jesus would come and pray on his own. So when he wanted to get away from the crowds and the people and his disciples to get alone with God, he would come to this very spot, Mount. So as we read in the Bible, we see mountains are places of divine encounters. Mount Sinai, where there was fire, thunder, and law. Mount Carmel, there was power and fire from heaven. And as Sarah preached last week on Mount Tabor, there was transfiguration and where glory was unveiled. But on Mount Eremos, it's different. There's no thunder, there's no fire. All there is a quiet slope by the Sea of Galilee and a Savior who sits down to speak to his disciples and also the crowd that would follow him. It is on this mountain that Jesus is about to shift their whole thought process on kingdom. Mount Eremos symbolizes a spiritual ascent. It's a place to get away from the worldly noise and a place to get a better understanding of God's ways. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. And it reads, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." And then it says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So let's look at this scene. Jesus, seeing the crowds, decides to go up to a mountain, and Jesus is about to address his disciples and the crowd that followed. And on this mountain, it's going to totally flip their mindset of what they're listening. He is giving them instructions on kingdom living and a kingdom mindset instead of a worldly mindset or a worldly way of living. On this mountain, Jesus didn't just preach to them, but he revealed some things to them. So as Jesus opens his mouth, he totally flips the script on what the world would define as blessed. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, and blessed are the peacemakers." So imagine you're sitting in this crowd and hearing this. The people had to have been confused because this totally goes against what the world was saying to them or what culture was saying to them. The world was saying, "Blessed are those who are strong, rich, loud, prosperous." But Jesus says, those aren't the characteristics that make you blessed when you have a kingdom mindset. Those who are meek, humble, and hungry for righteousness, those are who what God called blessed. You're going to see on the screen that it says, this mountain reveals not just rules, but a new reality. Jesus is teaching against the ways of culture and of the world. He is teaching the crowd and the disciples one thing, the way of the kingdom. Each beatitude highlights a posture of the heart that honors God. Poor in spirit is humility. Those who mourn, grief over sin. The meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, peacemakers, those who persecuted for righteousness, all these beatitudes show a characteristic of Jesus because he embodies every last one of them. Jesus is also giving the crowd and his disciples a mandate on how to live a kingdom purpose-driven life. And I think it's amazing that he chose a location that is quiet and desolate away from the noise to give them his teaching. He could have did it in the synagogue. He probably would have had more people if he was in a temple teaching this message. But this specific message wasn't for everybody. It was for his disciples for a reason. And he took them to a place to get them away from the busyness of the schedule, busyness of the town, busyness of the crowds, so he can teach them this kingdom purpose. See, Mount Eremos is more than just a mountain. It represents a place of retreat from the noise and where the Lord can give instructions. As we read in the beginning, it says his disciples sat down. They didn't say a word. They just sat and listened to what Jesus had to say. See, the Beatitudes are more than just a list of commands, but a description of someone who has a new heart that's been transformed by Christ. Jesus isn't just telling us how to live. He's telling us who we are and who we become and the attributes we will have when he reigns in us. So as we look at Mount Eremos, I have a few points for us to look at. And if you have a pen and a pad, I want you to write these down this morning. What does Mount Eremos represent? The first point is a place of kingdom identity, a place of kingdom identity. The scripture says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Mount Eremos represents a place where Jesus defines who is truly blessed, those who are humble, needy, and spiritually dependent. It reminds believers that their identity in a kingdom is not based on your status, but of your surrender. I'm going to say that again. Your identity in the kingdom is not based on your title that you have, but it's based on your amount of your surrender to the King. Amen? Point number two, a place of comfort and hope. A place of comfort and hope. Once again, the scripture says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mount Eremos becomes a symbol of a compassionate heart of God, offering comfort to the broken and hope to the hurting. For the believer, it is a place where God meets us in our grief and he promises us restoration. Three, a call to character and purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then he also says, blessed are the merciful and the meek, and blessed are the peacemakers. Mount Eremos shows us a Christ-like character that walks in true spiritual integrity. Shows us a Christ-like character that walks in true spiritual integrity. And point four, a challenge to bold and faithful living. Blessed are those who are persecuted, and rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Mount Eremos is a place that represents courageous faith. It's also a place that represents the cost of following Jesus and an eternal reward of standing firm in his righteousness. So this morning, I have a question to ask you. Where is your Mount Eremos? Where is it? Where is your mountain? Where is your place of solitude where God is bringing you and drawing you? As I was preparing for this message, I had to repent myself because there's been many times where I've gone to the Lord and prayed and said, God, I need you to do this, 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 and go. Never allowing the Lord to speak. Anybody else guilty of that? I'm not afraid. I lift my hand and say it. But as I was preaching this, as I was studying this message, the Lord convicted me. And just said, I want to be in a place where my prayer closet is not always just me telling God what I need, but taking the time to listen, to hear what he has to say. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed this morning, come on, bow your heads, close your eyes. If that's you, so busy with the hustle and bustle of life that you don't have a Mount Eremos moment, a quiet place where he can just speak and give direction. But it's your heart's desire to have that this morning. I want you to just lift your hands because I want to pray for you. Just lift your hands. If you're just, you've been so busy that you haven't taken the time to just hear the Lord. Lord, you see every hand raised this morning. And I pray this week be a week of a Mount Eremos moment. where we would just take the time to just sit and hear your voice. Not just to come in your presence with a list of demands, but with hands open and just saying, Lord, and hearts open to say, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I just want you to speak. I don't want to make decisions in my own strength. I don't want to make moves in my own power. I want you to give me direction. God, forgive me for those times where I've just come with my to-do list and my list of demands, and then I walk away, God. But just as your disciples in the midst of the busyness, Lord, I want to go to a quiet place. And I want to sit at your feet. I want to sit in your presence. And I just want to hear you. Father God, you see every hand raised in this place. Those who are here who are hungering for more, desperate for more of you, just don't want to just come to church. They want your presence. I pray every desire in this place would be filled, Lord God. I pray that they would chase after you this week, Lord God. No longer allowing time and schedule to get in the way of you, Lord God. You see the hearts this morning. You know the hands. You know everything that they need, Lord God. We know that you can provide it. The power of your presence that changes us, your glory all around us, and we're undone, open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. Come on, just lift your hands in this place. Come on, just lift your hands. Come on. And it's the power of your presence that changes your glory all around us. And we're undone, open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. Come on, this will make this is your song this week. Make this your testimony. Come on, it's the power. Come on. And it's the power of your presence. Come on, release it. That changes your glory all around us. And we're undone. Open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. It's the power of your presence that changes your glory all around us, and we're undone. Open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. Mount Eremos is about presence. Just as we sang, it's your presence that changes us. As you go long down in the scripture, it says, when they heard what he said, they were astonished. Something changed in that moment. But it only changed because they got into the presence of God. You're not going to see change until you get into the presence of God. You're not going to see breakthrough until you get into the presence of God, because that's where it truly is. So I challenge you this week, church. I know we have work. I know we have kids. I know we have responsibilities. But this week, let's take time to get into his presence, because that's where the change comes. Can I challenge you this week? Find your Mount Eremos place and just listen for direction this week. Amen? Come on, let's stand.